All right, well, let's go ahead and get started then. Who's leading us into this topic? Is it me or you? So sorry, I don't speak Gremlin.
That wasn't Gremlin. That was.
It was a goblin. Get your G creatures right.
Welcome to Ink a Podcast, Play a Podcast.
A classic turn one play. I'm Matthew Orr Bridges.
And I'm Amy Orr. A few episodes ago, you introduced me to a word that I had not heard before.
Didn't I say like, yeah, don't worry about it. We'll talk about it later.
I think you said spoiler alert for a future episode.
And here is the future episode that we're talking about. Exactly. Yeah, so... There's this term that pops up. If you start playing card games, there's this term that pops up called net decking. And I think I actually did define it.
Yeah, you did.
In the episode, because we talked about what's the internet? What's the net? Yeah, so it's called net decking. It is the practice of finding a deck list on the internet for a deck and using that.
It's aptly named.
Yes, I think they did a good job. Yeah. So, you know, back in the day, you didn't have the internet, right? When Magic the Gathering first came out, you had magazines.
I was going to say, was it called magazine decking?
Zine decking?
Zine decking. Yeah, I'm not cool enough to come up with a shortened version of one of these words.
Well, I mean, they were zines. That's like an 80s thing, right?
No, I know. I'm not even 80s
cool. I wasn't around. Neither was Magic. Magic was 90s cool. Magic was 90s uncool. Anyway, Magic didn't really have net decking because there wasn't really the net. And so there was this concept where like you had to make your own deck based off of the cards that you opened because you didn't even know cards existed a lot of the times unless you either opened them or you played against them.
My God.
Which is kind of crazy to think about, right? We're in such the age of information that not knowing what cards existed even is such a weird concept. But, you know, as all things, time moved on and we got the internet and we got databases full of cards and we had people who could collaborate across the world. And so you got net decking where you can go to any number of websites and find the top results of people who have placed well at tournaments, and you can look at their deck list and you can grab that deck list and you don't have to actually build your own deck. Net decking is almost exclusively used in a derogatory way. And we have already said that we're kind of, we're drama Cusco llamas over here. And so whenever the concept gets brought up on like the Facebook group, there's always one or two people who are in the comments being like, you shouldn't ever look at somebody else's deck list while you're building a deck. And those people are hilarious.
Yeah, whatever.
What are you talking about, man? Okay, old man. Like, I've said this before and I will continuously say it. You will never beat the collective knowledge of the rest of the player base. It's just not going to happen. And a majority of us have full-time jobs. This is not our career.
Yet.
Yet, yeah. Believe it or not, we don't get paid for this. So everybody collectively putting in a little bit of time, a little bit of effort, tweaking, refining these deck lists is going to be more effective than what one single person is able to accomplish. And that's not a bad thing. I kind of get the idea, like, I get the appeal of making your own deck and testing it and refining it yourself and having your identity in that deck, I get that, but it's just not realistic for a competitive game. And there's nothing wrong with not wanting to pour that much time and energy into it.
Yeah, I don't think that the game is about building the deck. I think it's about playing the deck. So I have no problems with net decking and have done that almost exclusively.
Yeah, I think the game is multiple things, you know? It can be multiple things to a person. It's a deck building game, it's a card evaluation game. It's a bluffing game.
Oh, it is not a bluffing game for me.
you draw a card sometimes, and you're like, ooh.
This might work in nicely with my plans.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. But that's what I mean, is that like the game can be different things to different people. And I think that that's amazing. I have never been a very good deck builder, like from scratch. I'm pretty bad at deck building. I just don't have the... It feels really heavy to try to carry the weight of all of the cards and all of the card combinations in my head. And so I get really daunted whenever I open up like a blank deck and I'm like, what do I want to build today? You know, I think my strength more lies in tweaking known decks. So...
Yes.
I played Ruby Amethyst for a really long time, and I would get like the base 60 cards and be like, okay, what do I expect the metagame to be? What do I expect other people to be expecting? You know, kind of that they don't know, we know they know. And changing the deck list in that regard. I really like going on to Dreamborn and pulling up all the cards in my two colors and being like, what cards exist? And being like, oh, that's an interesting card. I wonder why people aren't playing that. And being then, like, I wonder if that works.
And then you play it and you're like, that's why they aren't playing that.
That's why people aren't playing that. Exactly. Because the community has agreed that this card is not good through their collective knowledge.
Yeah.
And I wanted to test it out myself, you know, and I figured it out. There are cards and decks that are like good in certain circumstances, but not consistent enough. And so you get this interesting feedback where it's like, well, what do you mean my Amber Sapphire deck isn't very good? I win all the time at my locals. And there's like confirmation bias there a little bit where it's like, yeah, but it's not consistent enough to win against a 9-round tournament at a DLC.
Well, and locals might also be where people are trying out their random ass decks.
Sure. So, you know, your deck, your tier 3 deck might be the best of all the other tier 3 decks that, you know, you're playing at a Tuesday night, but it's not going to beat the consistency of a tier 1 deck. I don't know. Like, there's not a problem. I don't have a problem with people, you know, DIYing their deck. I think that that's really fun. I don't like the attitude that people have sometimes when it comes to net decking versus DIY,
yeah,
where it's like the DIY deck automatically is morally superior. No, it's not. You shouldn't ever judge someone for net decking because that's the way that they're choosing to play the game, in the same way that you shouldn't judge somebody for DIYing their deck. I think it's really cool when somebody pops up and is like, hey, I built this random deck and they have a whole bunch of cards that I have seen once and never saw again until this moment where it's like, okay, here, give me that card. I need to read it. And, you know, and it's like, yeah, you got me. I don't know every card by heart, but I don't know. Don't have a superiority complex because of one over the other.
Yeah. No, I agree.
So, you know what I do like? You know what I wish was rewarded more was themed decks.
Okay, hold on. Hold on. We haven't even mentioned that we dipped our toes into
DIY.
I think we gotta
talk
about that a little bit first.
And
then we can move into theme decks.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay, I mean, like, I don't even know what I have to say about it, but in the past couple weeks, I have been interested in coming up with my own decks. And I gotta say, it is kind of fun.
Yeah, you and I actually started, like, coming up with our own deck ideas for once, didn't we?
Yeah, it was fun. You know, the interesting thing about it was I put it together, and then I was like, oh my God, I need to play this. Like, it was a very different urge to play than I'd been feeling, you know, like, and I had no hopes for this deck at all. But I was very interested to see how something that I came up with played.
Right. Yeah. Which is interesting because it's a very good deck. Like, it is, it's very effective.
I mean, it has worked so far. And then, you know, you were talking about DIY decks having, like, random cards that nobody knows. That's the thing, though. Mine doesn't. Like, I think it...
Right.
I think all of my cards are known. It's just that it's maybe a different configuration than most people are using. Or, I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's even a deck that is being used. I don't know. But what I know is I did it.
Yeah. I could see there being, like, a spectrum from, you know, net decking the full 60 to... I created these 60 cards in this combination that nobody else has done. And, like, your deck relied on, like, a theme, but not, like, I'm going to do princesses.
Right.
You know? Your deck relied on Russian Evasive, and you were like, okay, in red-purple, what are the best cards to do Russian Evasive? And there were several times when you're like, I should probably add Be Prepared, but it doesn't have Rush or Evasive, so I didn't. But, so you're kind of on the side of DIY, but you're also restricting yourself.
Yes.
Superficially, you know?
Yes. It's very tricky because I definitely want it to be a good deck, but I am resisting going against theme. And
right.
It's tricky. Scar is a character sort of Be Prepared in some situations. But he doesn't help against things like Maui Shark. Which I saw when playing against your DIY deck.
Yeah. Well, you just always assume that you have the Peter Pan that gives your rush evasives.
Which is kind of insane because, you know, there's only four of them, you know, like...
Well, and I think there is something to be said about, you know, net decks don't just pop up, right? Net decks are a result of people doing DIY, throwing together 60 cards, seeing how it works, and then iterating off of that. So I don't want people to think that you shouldn't ever do a DIY deck. I just don't like the stigma attached to either extreme of the spectrum. Because let me tell you, if you have nothing but time to iterate on a concept, freaking go for it. Like, that is really cool. And you do get some points for the surprise factor. At a tournament, if people are not expecting specific cards, you will get some wins that way. What I don't want is, like, your Ruby Amethyst deck being themed around Rush and evasive characters. And you being like, well, I didn't want to do Be Prepared because it's not on theme, so I did this on-theme replacement for it. If you were going to be doing, like, going to a series tournament, if you were going to a DLC, it's obvious that you would need to iterate more on this deck.
Yeah.
But not to the point where maybe it doesn't have to lose its identity of being, like, you could just see, well, the metagame is kind of soft to big evasive characters. So you could try to take advantage of that situation and say, listen, if everything in my deck has evasive, it's very unlikely that somebody is going to be able to challenge effectively against me. But also I do need to be prepared because there are going to be some situations that call for it, right? Maybe you end up at the same Ruby Amethyst list that, you know, somebody else ended up with.
Yeah.
Maybe over your iterations, you're like, okay, I don't need both Peter Pans. Maybe I only need one of them. Okay, maybe I don't need Scar, I need Be Prepared. You know, that sort of thing. Okay, maybe I do need to play Goat. You know, like, you might end up there. Or you might not. And the only way to know is by iterating. My whole thing is that, man, I don't have enough time for that. You know?
Yeah.
I just don't have time to iterate. And you and I were texting when we were talking about kind of doing our own fun little decks. And I was like, you know, it would be really nice to still have the program that shall not be named. Pixelborn was really good for that iterative process. And I think that is the greatest loss from that system going down, is there's a part of me, you know, I built a for fun DIY deck trying to figure out kind of a concept. It was a proof of concept. And I played it on Thursday and it didn't do great. And that was my Thursday. That was my Thursday night. I kind of don't want to waste time on a proof of concept when I only get so much time to play.
I mean, yeah, that's definitely true. When you're limited to the amount of time that you have and you frankly want to win, you know, it's like, okay, last set championships, that every weekend I was playing a different deck. The problem with that is that I was never into those decks long enough to be good on those decks. And if you are playing like once a week trying to work your homebrew, then you're not going to get that opportunity to settle into where it is worth playing in a competitive sense.
It's weird because, like, on one hand, I don't even know that it's about winning. It's
about doing the thing.
It's about doing the thing, but it's also about, like, I don't mind losing, which could be a whole topic on its own, is like how to lose, you know? But I don't mind losing. What I mind is playing a game that I could win. And it doesn't bug me to lose a game that I could win. It bugs me to lose a game that I am just so far away from actually winning.
I think that that's like the feeling with in the Bucky meta, right? Like, it,
yeah,
because that was the problem with that, was that if Bucky was doing his thing, you weren't in the game. And so it wasn't fun.
Yeah, that's actually a very good parallel. Like, losing a very close game to me is better than just blowing out my opponent.
Yes.
I would much rather have good games that I lose than win because I don't have a there's no competition. And so when it comes to DIY decks, when it comes to proof of concept decks, I don't have the time to iterate enough to push it towards competitive. And so I net deck and I tweak, you know?
Yeah.
A lot of that could be solved, you know. You could get together a team, you know, you and I and others in our community could get together to play test. That still is a pretty hefty time investment, even outside of like normal tournaments. You know, normal tournaments, at least in our area, basically every day of the week, but everybody has a job. Yeah. And so, you know, most people are working during the day, during the week. You really only have 4 to 6 hours at night. And then, you know, people have kids on the weekends and soccer games and all that sort of stuff. So having the time to iterate on a proof of concept is a severely limiting factor. And going back again to the collective time that everybody else is playing is so much greater than your own personal time. Again, I don't know where I'm going with this. Anyway, be nice to each other. God, is that just entirely what this podcast is? Just be better people to each other. Stop being mean.
Hold on a second. I can't.
Be excellent to each other.
That was what I was going to say, but I wanted to make sure that the words were exact. I knew be excellent, but I was like, is it to each other?
I don't know.
Yeah, it is. It's be excellent
to each
other.
I did not care. Yeah. I didn't care for accuracy as much as you did.
I cared for it a lot. But yes, it is be excellent to each other. I'm okay with that being our theme, even though it is weird.
Well, I think that just about does it for this episode.
Yeah, yeah. I think we've talked about all the different types of decks that there are.
We did it. So, yeah, we're gonna get out of here. I'm gonna look up our social media accounts so that you guys can get in touch with us. I can never remember them. I don't know why my memory's so bad. But
I don't know.
Instead of having some dead air, I figured I would give Amy an opportunity to expand on something that she is really passionate about.
And I'm sure so, you'll Amy, hear the you, passion.
Yeah, well, you know, passion comes in different forms. Yours is very muted, even though you feel very strongly about this. Amy, you told me the other day that Lorcana should not be a 1v1 game, like at all. It should always be at least three players. Do you want to tell me about that and tell me how you imagine tournaments going and what a DLC would look like if you had to play with three players, and specifically not like those co-op games, like 1v1v1 is what you said.
Right. So you definitely missed an element of the entire conversation, but let me put this into perspective, okay? So there would be like fire and flames just everywhere. And, you know, there would be monsters crawling around and cars without, you know, where you're driving from the back seat, teeth falling out, because this would be my literal nightmare. the last thing I need is to be worrying about multiple people.
This is you. You know, anded me. This is the opposite. You broke the first rule. The only rule. You said no, and you are wrong. If you don't want to do this segment, tell me you don't want to do this segment.
I like my answer. I thought it was great.
You can find us on YouTube at Inca Podcast. You can find us on Twitter and Blue Sky and TikTok at Inca Podcast. We're at Inca Podcast Play a Podcast on Instagram, where Amy is eventually going to learn what a meme is.
I know what a meme is. I just don't know how to use them.
We are also at IncaPodcast.com. That just recently launched, which is fun.
Woohoo!
Yeah, so, you know, tweet at us. Blue Sky at us, comment on our memes, and if you comment on our YouTube videos, we will read them. We'll read the comments. We will absolutely read every single comment. Whether that is on the show is up for debate.
Yeah. We do have a 5-star rating on Spotify, but there was not a comment.
We do.
So I can't
We'll need to track that person down and like gift them something. Just, we need to hunt them.
Yeah. We'll gift your wife.
Yeah, that's totally who it is. She denies it, but it's 100% my wife. Oh, wow. You have a 5-star on Spotify. That's crazy.
Oh my God. Congratulations.
I had no idea. Goodbye.
Yeah. Bye.
Thanks for listening. And we're going to go take some improv classes together.
Clearly, you don't understand that second tier of improv is no butt.